Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My apologies for being a few minutes late. These things do happen. I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimension. We were to have a wonderful, wonderful guest tonight, Robert Schwartz, who has written Courageous Souls. Do we plan our life challenges before birth? I must admit, I read this book. It took me a few days to read it. Normally, I read like a house on fire, like there's a race on, and if we don't get it read in the first 30 hours, there's something wrong with me. But this is one that I took my time to read a little bit. Unfortunately, I got an email from him when I got home, and his phone's out of service today, and he gave me a neighbor's number, and somehow he thought that we were going to be going live at 8 Pacific time rather than 8 Eastern Daylight Savings time. So we're kind of all discombobulated today, but I will have him on another time because I think he is worthwhile. I really enjoyed his book. We'll talk about it later in the game. Meanwhile, we're going to have a freestyle like last week. I can talk on any subject just about it. I would love people to call in, and if they have something to say, something they want to discuss, questions, they want a free reading, it doesn't matter. I'm on the air to serve and have a lot of fun tonight, and I intend to do so. So if anybody wants to talk, please feel free, because we can certainly answer questions. We can have fun with this. I love free time. Having said that, I don't know how many of you remember that my beloved bulldog, Penny, died a year ago next month from cancer of the mouth. Well, this morning I noticed that my Boston Terrier, my 13-year-old Toby, could hardly open his mouth, and I checked it in. There's a lot of swelling in there, a bad tooth I could see. But I took him to the vet, and he took a biopsy. He said it could be an affected tooth. He said definitely there's a tooth that's gone bad, but until we get the lab test back, we don't know. He did take a biopsy. He said it could be 50-50 for cancer. I sincerely hope not. I'm not ready and willing to lose another pet. It would break my heart to lose my dear Toby. He was a present to my mother, a Valentine's Day present to my mother 13 years ago. And he's been my doggie since her death. And that would leave our last dog alone, the one who's 17 years old. And last time he lost two of his pals, he mourned so badly. I bought Toby supposedly again for my mom for her Valentine's Day, but half of it was for Sparky because he was mourning the death so hard of Pepper that he lost weight. He wouldn't play. His eyes were dull. I'll tell you, in a day or two after we got Toby home, his whole demeanor changed, and he was back to his perky self. So when people say that dogs don't have souls and they don't have feelings and they don't remember and this and that and the other thing, I know that you don't believe that, because animals do have souls, and they do remember, and they do love, and they do mourn, and they feel. The thing that I think irks me so much is when people say animals can't feel. Well, just because they can't express their pain or their sorrow doesn't mean that they don't have it. It would be like telling somebody from another race and culture that you didn't know their language that they don't experience pain or suffering because they can't articulate in words that you understand that they're in pain and suffering. And I think that's the kind of thing that upsets me when I saw the biopsy done today, and he said the tissue is dead, the dog isn't hurting, and the dog just reacted so hard to pain. And I said, he damn well does feel pain. And he took one look at my face, and he immediately gave him a good, swift, strong dose of medication to kill the pain, a local anesthetic. And then we put him on aspirin afterwards to help dull the pain, because obviously he felt the pain. At any rate, other than that, the vet is a fabulous vet. We've been going to him for better the part of 20 years. I travel over 100 miles. That's how much I think of the man as far as being a vet is concerned. So anybody who wants to say prayers for me or share a story about their dog, please let me know. Meanwhile, other than that, things are doing beautifully well. Calling back to a few weeks ago when I had Tony Settlemyer on with the conscious language, and we did some clearing and cleansing, and I said I'd get back to you, give you an update. I will tell you that things have definitely changed. There is a great, great difference in an inner response. The channeling that I've been doing and meditation is also stronger, which I'm so glad to say. The inner concerns that I had or feelings of negativity have, by and large, faded down to nothing. In other words, I thought, well, let's see if I can recall what it feels like to be upset about something, to feel stress or pain or fear or whatever. And by God, I had to concentrate on it and, you know, practically grunt in effort. And then I said, well, why am I doing this? And I thought, just because I wanted to see if I was fooling myself or if indeed the releasing, the opening of the awareness and the language changes did make a significant difference. So firstly, from personal experience, as I said, I like to talk to people about what I've been through because if I can do it, you can do it. It makes a difference, and it works for me, and it is working for me. So I will continue to update it because things are changing, amazingly so, and it seems like it's almost synchronistic because when you are working in order, in divine order, I guess, and in God's way, in God's time, or Spirit's time, however you term the words, it seems that the difference is phenomenally interesting. And it does indeed seem to happen. There are so many coincidences occurring at this time that it's odd. People who used to work for me years ago, literally, for my company in healthcare, medical staffing, have recently started their own business, and out of the blue, they called me and asked if I would come to work for them and do their marketing and writing of bid proposals in the medical healthcare field. And it's so nice because they said, you did such a good job with your company, and we don't like doing that, and we're just the technical people. Would you do it for us? So I said, well, why not? So now I have a little fun of putting my hands back in, and I will tell you, we tend not to praise ourselves. Those of us who are on the spiritual path, many of us forget to say how good we truly are, how truly talented we are. I was talking to them about the contract, the bid proposal writing, you know, the amounts of money, the profits, the G&A, and I'm giving all this information, and suddenly I stopped and looked at it and said, you know what? I didn't realize how much I knew until you, I started telling you what it is I know. Let me tell you, it was a revelation that we often have a tendency to put our light under a bushel basket and not to think as well of ourselves as we should. Yes, there are those who are conceited and arrogant, and yes, there are those who really, you know, have their sails trimmed, as my mother would say. But, you know, so many of those on the spiritual path really do have a tendency not to honor their own knowledge, not to respect themselves for the achievements they have done. You know, I don't know how to express it any other way, is that one needs to learn how to love oneself and honor oneself in order to go forth and love and honor others. And this is not by way of crowing about, you know, how wonderful you are, but by saying, you know, by golly, when all said and done, you turn and look at your life, you are amazed. You are absolutely amazed at where you were 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, how many years you want to go back, and where you are today. And you can chart the changes that are visible in your life because of choices you've made. So that when you consciously, knowingly choose to remove any negative thoughts, patterns, words from your daily processes, that's all I can say because we think all the time, obviously. When you do make that concerted effort and you do start changing your language, amazingly enough, things happen. You start moving away from old thoughts and habits and patterns, and you begin literally to start resonating with the new habits and thoughts that you are putting in their place. And it makes a difference as to what you draw into your life. Also, when you use conscious awareness, again, some of the things that I have noticed, and in using thoughts and positive energy, is I can almost see emanating from my hands when I hold them over plants or animals, I can almost see the energy that is emanating from my hands, and it is such an absolutely fascinating thing. It's fun. I have a lot of fun experimenting, and I have been so blessed with BBS Radio and the getting to talk to writers of books and so forth and so on, and being able to explore their thoughts and being open to allowing others to share their thoughts and their experiences in return, that I feel like I'm in a school and I don't have to pay tuition. And it is so much fun being able to talk to people and sharing and exploring these wonderful gifts with them. There are a few other people we're going to have in the future that I would really like. One is in Italy, one is in Russia. So we're going to really become international on this one. And in Russia, did you know that women who are gifted psychically or those who do studies in the psychic area are called blue ladies? Now, I know that was explained to me at one time years ago, but for the life of me, I can't remember. But it has something to do with spiritual colors, as far as I can recall, and that's about all. It's had to be 12, 13, 14 years ago, maybe more than that, for heaven's sake. That but there is a reason why they're called blue ladies, maybe because they all tended to wear color blue for Mary, the Virgin. Something of that nature. Usually there is a common sense or a theme behind thoughts like this. At any rate, I just thought I would mention it to you so you can look forward to some other great authors and to have a lot of fun. Again, I have found with the changing of how I think and speak and remove some words from my mind, that my whole outlook has changed. I've also, at the same time, undergone to do things for myself physically that I fought against. Ooh, sorry for the siren. I can't help that. We've got hospitals near here. At any rate, what I have done, too, and I think we have our person calling on the other line, so I'm going to have to let it go, so forgive me if you hear the ringing of the radio, because I don't think that I can answer it and have get off the radio at this time. The person will just have to call back. At any rate, I'm hoping that, just going back to what I was saying, I have started taking vitamins and growing herbs in my own garden in the back and using them with my food, so that I can have a lot of fun with it. And I do notice that I can taste the difference in food when I've used my own herbs. And it is an absolutely wonderful thing, because I haven't done that for a long, long time. And so I would encourage any of you who can have window boxes, if you live in apartments and what have you, to please indeed go ahead and grow your own herbs and have a lot of fun putting them in your food, and it's better for you. Edgar Cayce used to say the best foods for you were foods that are grown within your own region, your own location, because it's consistent with the environment in which you live. And there are many things about Edgar Cayce that I truly begin to understand now that I'm getting older. You'd think I'd get younger. I mean, I would have been a little wiser when I was younger, but unfortunately, it takes me a while to learn and grow. But other than that, you know, I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful joy to be able to have the ability to share with everyone all the new things that I am learning. Again, please feel free to call in and talk or to share your stories or ask questions or get a reading or a past life. Those are so easy for me to do. I mean, it's like I immediately start on a past life when I start talking to someone if they ask. So I'm having a kind of a downtime right now because nobody's calling in. So if you want to call in, let's do so. Otherwise, I can talk for a while, or I can have Don play music, and I can go put my feet up and read some more books. Your choice. He offered. At any rate, part of what I am hoping to achieve this year is to get some television shows started. And if I can really discipline myself, start writing stories and books, because I love writing books, writing stories. And it's been a while, and I guess I'm just a little bit lazy. But I understand, you know, that it can be done, and you don't die trying. You can just get it done. Some of the other things that I'm hoping to do this year is to be able to get a chance to travel and visit people in the United States, some people that I've come to know in different states, and interview them in their home state. And I'd love to do that, if I can, sort of a Charles Kuralt, you know, in the psychic world, because I think that would be a really, really fun thing to do. And there are so many good people around. There's so many people that I'd love to see and meet, and some people don't like to travel, and I just have a great, great passion for traveling. It's my dream to do that one day, to go around the United States and see all of our states and see what this great land of ours really looks like from the front seat and not flying over it. Some of the things that we have been talking about in the last couple weeks are the changes that are going to be coming, some of the physical changes in this earth plane. I had caught, who was it? I'll think of her name in a minute. She's on Montel Williams' show, and Sylvia Brown. And she had indicated in response to a question that this year there'll be greater activities as far as storms and earthquakes and so forth and so on. I have to agree with that, and whether or not you were aware that the Weather Bureau and scientists are saying that there should be a more active season for hurricanes this year, especially with one or more hitting the coast, somewhere on the coast of the United States. Well, we have such a large coastline, it's kind of hard to miss, you know what I mean? But I have to admit that too has been a part of my feeling that this year we would have some more energy activity. There's a lot of energy going through the earth at this time. A lot of people can feel it. A lot of people are reacting to it. You can just feel this energy bubbling up and moving forward in you. And if people are wondering if indeed this is true, I can say absolutely from my own experience, from my hearing from others, psychics and other people, that yes, indeed, and it's being corroborated by science, which I think is wonderful. And I'm not quite sure what else to say, except that it's going to be a very active year, and that we all should look forward to doing the best we can with what we have at this time in our life. I would really like to have some other people talk about some of their experiences, if at all possible, if they would like to do so, because I invite the conversations to share with others. So if anybody wants to call in and talk, now is not a bad time to do this. I think it would be a fun thing to do. Again, if not, well, I can keep talking for a while. I'm not sure how exciting it's going to be all the while, but I'll do what I can. If there are any of you who have some other things that you would like to share, please do so. Meanwhile, we have a number of new experiences opening up in people's lives. Many people are feeling this change. Some of them are feeling a forward movement and as though they're teetering on the brink, and others are feeling like they've sort of but not quite been shoved over the edge for things to come through. That, I think, is pretty much standard for everyone. The growth rate for spiritual aspects is very, very strong at this time. I've been working with some of the positive energy and reinforcement in language skills to bring about a change in my life, and I'd like to invite everyone to see if they can work with that kind of energy in their own lives to bring about positive experiences in their lives through using conscious, active thoughts to create a change in what they experience. I think it's doable. I think it's fun. And we certainly can take words like should and must and have to and need out of our vocabulary. Especially need. We all want to say we need something. Well, need implies something that you're lacking. Just as the word I want also implies there's a lack somewhere. Using these words to change around so that you can get a more positive flow of things in your life takes a little time and discipline. Again, that's the conscious language thought. It's also positive programming. Norman Vincent Peale suggested that. Rephrase what you are speaking about to bring about in your life, to draw to you what you so desire. And I've also used those same words years ago when I was dealing with teenagers. It seemed to work very well if you took the words must, have to, and need to out of requests to teenagers, that they responded a great deal better. Somehow those words tend to get the backs up on teenagers. I'm not quite sure if it's only for teenagers. I think it depends on how the words are said to adults. But I know that when you change your vocabulary to kids, they respond much more positively by acquiescing to what you want than they do otherwise. That was my finding. And I seem to be going all over the map tonight. Good evening, Higher Dimensions. May I help you? Welcome. Are you on the radio? Nope, I don't hear it. I just hear a beep. I don't know if you do, but if someone's on, please speak up. I'll keep talking then. How am I doing so far, sir? That was Don, our host, our radio show producer. And at any rate, we're having I really seem, as I said, to be all over the map tonight. I guess because I hadn't really thought about not having a guest tonight. It kind of hit me in the last few minutes before we came on board. Again, if anybody wants a reading or wants to share a story, please feel free to call in. The good news is that we are all reaching and growing and changing, and I'd like again for you all to consider what a wonderful life and situation that you are having, and that you would be able to take stock of what you have done in your life and to praise yourself for the good that you have done. There are many times, again, when we should look into our own lives and honor ourselves more so than we should. Sometimes it's very difficult. At other times, it's easy. But remembering to respect yourself and know that that's the beginning of your own love of others is when you can love and honor yourself. And that is so very, very important in your life. And I find it's true if you are feeling unworthy and undeserving. Believe it or not, you're going to be feeling that and drawing that energy of unfeeling and unworthiness to you. So I know that it's important because I've had that problem in my past too, when I did not feel worthy and deserving of certain gifts that have come to me. So I think it would be lovely for us to know and acknowledge ourselves and express the feelings of worthiness to ourselves. Again, sometimes it's important to really feel this and to get an emotional response inside yourself. One of the great gifts that we have as human beings is that we have the emotion, the chemical wherewithal through the endocrine system to feel things like feeling anger, feeling warmth, feeling love, feeling embarrassment, feeling all the emotions that we do. We are, I think other mammals do too, but I think we are more highly evolved in the more subtle feelings like embarrassment, self-awareness, etc. And certainly by seeking God through the study of words and using our abilities, and again I say the mammals and animals have the opportunity to love and to maybe know God without having to study, because they don't have, I think, the mental capacity to do that in a way that we do, though they can learn. I'm thinking particularly of the great apes now. And by using those emotions, when we ask for things, truly feeling what we wish and desire, I believe allows us to draw to us through the vibrational antenna, shall we say, or the receptors, what we are seeking more and more. When I was, yesterday I was doing channeling, as I do every Wednesday. I and a very small group of people get together and very often channel. Yesterday, the question was about electromagnetics and the drawing to one. Does it help? Does it really help, for example, to wear the magnetic, like the Nikon? And I forgot what the others are. And if they're a brand, I don't mean to tout a brand or not tout one, but to wear magnetics like in the soles of your shoes, on an ankle, whatever. And yes, again, Edgar Cayce does say there is a benefit, but at some point, the wisdom is that you shouldn't have to have them all the time. that if they are healing devices, they should actually work about, as far as bringing about healing itself, so that you no longer have to wear them at some point in time. And that's what healing is, of course, in many ways, is about not needing to continue with something over and over and over again because it has brought itself to work oneself out of a position, so to speak, to work out of the need for having this, that, or the other thing constantly, because there has affected a change in the consciousness or the cellular structure, and therefore the healing has been affected. What came out also was that everything is really basically vibrations. Again, this is nothing new under the sun, and that all is really vibration. And so when we think and when we speak and we have any kind of emotional, provide any emotional constitutional parts to it, weight it with emotion, that itself goes out into the universe, and that is what resonates and brings back to us what we want and desire. If we send out anger but turn around and say we really want love, but we get angry a lot, we send out an emotional, explosions, what we're going to draw to us, quite frankly, are emotional explosions. We might get some form of love, but it is the emotional input that actually causes a vibrational response which draws to us what we are desiring in our life. This is probably very elementary to many of you, but it's something that I think might bear repeating from time to time, as it's an important aspect of our beingness. Part of what we are, what I'm trying to do at any rate at this point in time, is to put that emotional response in context so that I can draw to me more and more of what I hope for and desire. Again, I have had a lot of changes in my feelings in the last few weeks. I'm feeling love more, the emotional attribute of love. I am feeling more gratitude and gratefulness. I have often, I am grateful, but I have been feeling an upwelling that I recognize as gratitude. This is kind of new for me. It's not about just being gracious. It's about feeling so much so. And one of the things I have read somewhere is that the feeling of gratitude is part of what draws to us even greater blessings. Now, I'm not sure intellectually what this means, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd have to sort it out or talk with someone else and get a feedback to, play with it back and forth in a discussion. But in many of the readings that I've had, whether it was with Casey, Emmett Fox, Prion, Mary Summerrain, with many of these, the word of feeling gratitude is somehow extremely closely tied to receiving the gifts that we are seeking. And my own opinion, what can it hurt to feel gratitude? It couldn't hurt anything. But feeling gratitude is different than just saying, I feel it. It's an upwelling of the heart, which to me is different. It's like feeling love as opposed to expressing it in how you feel. You can say you love someone, but or you love a cookie, or you love baked potatoes, or whatever. But feeling love welling up inside of you, a lot of people try to stifle that. Because when you start feeling this upwelling of love and caring, it can be, frankly, pretty darn scary. Because one of the things that you think about is that it leaves you vulnerable. And that can be a very scary situation for people. But unless you allow yourself to become vulnerable in that manner, you probably will not get past to where you want to go. You simply will be in your own space, in your own way, spinning your wheels, trying to wait for the situation to resolve itself. The other thing, too, is the asking, and this is where I fall down a lot, because I believe, you know, God helps those who help themselves. So a lot of times when I've had situations where I could have asked for divine help, you know, I plow my way through until I hit a brick wall and bang my head or stub my toe or whatever it is that I do before I yell uncle and then yell for help. I've been growing better about that lately. I have been more conscious of asking for spirits and my guardians and guides to assist me. And sometimes I say, you know, guys, you can do it for me. I'm a little tired. I'm going to sit down. I'm getting older. You know, this is too much like work, folks. I need to make it easier for me to have fun. And so, again, what I feel, what I hear is that if we are willing to do our part in this beautiful exchange of energies and gifts, that is to let go of old habit patterns, old thoughts, outworn phrases and ideas, then spirit, the angels, whomever, just come through like great troopers to help us out. Sometimes in my life, when I have been particularly blind, stiff-necked, stubborn, use your word, feel free, about things, and I finally come to a point where I can't go any further. It's like I get hit along the side of the head with a 2x4. And then I turn around and say, all right, enough already. I need help. I don't know what to do. And it's like I hear an unseen voice, and that sounds a contradiction in terms. I know that. I hear a voice that seems to come out of my head from someone around me that says, well, it's about damn time that you yelled uncle. I keep forgetting, don't know how many other people do, that they're always there for us. They're not on a time clock. You know, they don't work between Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. You know what I'm saying? They're there all the time, anytime. And part of their reason for helping us is that they themselves then can grow in grace and beauty. Because part of the situation is in the universe is that we all help each other. And just because we don't see them there, just because we don't see our guides and our guardians and angels, doesn't mean that they aren't there ready, willing, and able to do everything that we'd like them to do and more. They just want us to be able to reach out and become aware of them before they do it. It's kind of, I don't know what it's kind of like. It's like wanting to be appreciated and be acknowledged that one is there and is able to move forward and to have fun and to be a part of your life. So that's one of the areas that I work on, allowing others, both in the flesh and out of the flesh, to be able to come and help me and not have so much pride in being independent. I'm getting a little tired of the independence thing, thank you very much. I could use all the help I can get. And, geez, I hope they're listening to me now because I could sure use some help. But, again, part of our lesson here is learning to balance and to reach out and to allow others to help us. Allowing spirit to help us, the angels to help us, is very important. Acknowledging their assistance is great, too. They don't want you to sit around throwing thank yous at them and hosannas. You know, a simple heartfelt thank you is enough for them. And going overboard and isn't good for anybody. And you really can't fool the angels. You really can't fool the spirit. You have to be pretty kind of plain-spoken with them because once you get out of the physical body, you know, there's no way anybody can play games and hide things or try to put one over on you. It just doesn't work. It's very, very transparent in the spiritual world. So being honest and open and upfront is about the only thing you can be. The other thing, too, is I don't know about you, but I can never understand why people try to not speak the truth, especially when they're trying to work with the spiritual aspect of the spiritual words. I mean, it's so plain that you can't lie. At least that's been my experience. So I don't even try not to tell the truth, and I haven't for most of my life. Even as a little kid, I could not get away with anything. My parents didn't allow it, for one thing, and number two, I had no younger brothers or sisters to say he or she or it did it. I was the only one there, so I didn't have any to blame except myself, so I learned to take responsibility really young. But part of this accepting responsibility means also, again, let's go back to loving yourself and being responsible to yourself for your own dreams and thoughts and wishes and desires. And I'm sorry, nobody has called yet. Last week I had such a rollicking good time with the people calling in. I was hoping that we could do this again. And by the way, Mr. Schwartz did call and left a message. We will reschedule I didn't hear all of the message, but we will reschedule him at another time and date. And what he talks about, again, is life between lives. And he goes really into the use of people and the things that have happened in their life, some very dramatic stories that we plan so that some things that we think are horrible accidents are really pre-arranged occurrences, whether it's being born with a particular defect, as we would call it, or challenge or handicap, however you want to call it, like a lack of sight or inability to hear or whatever, to having accidents or an illness that one has to live with, or even the sacrificing the life. And these situations are all chosen for and by the soul itself, along with the others in one's life, in order to learn lessons and to move forward spiritually. And viewed from that perspective, it answers a great deal to the questions that people say, well, God did this and God didn't that. Well, no. Well, why did God let this happen or that happen? As though we were all some kind of helpless children under a tyrant or under a vengeful or angry God or something like that, when in actual fact we have chosen situations and environments specifically geared to make us grow. And that's why I think it's going to be such a great radio show, because this is something that we do. And I'm certified in Life Between Lives and in hypnotherapy, which does exactly this. It allows each individual to access his or her own pre-life or life between lives archives, and to be to attend their own planning sessions as to why this or that happened in your life and the relationships and why they were either happy or unhappy or cut short or whatever the situation may be. And the transformational aspect in the lives of those who come to realize that they did indeed participate in the planning of their life. And what they felt when going in as to being being victims or helpless, to being empowered and understanding how truly grand and magnificent each and every soul is on this earth plane as they go through life itself and learn the lessons that they agreed to take upon themselves, it is one of the most empowering situations you can imagine. And as I said, it's very transformational, and I'm very excited about having that story come on. We're also going to talk to a gentleman who believes that Abraham Lincoln and Charles Lindbergh were the same soul. And he lays out a fairly good case for this, and he has a very nice discussion of it. Again, he will be in the future, and then we're going to have another gentleman by the name of Philip Gardner, who has out The Ark, the Shroud, and Mary. Very nice video pulling the situations together to describe whether they're myth or fact as far as whether or not the Shroud of Turin is that which was used, the grave cloth used to wrap the body of Christ in, and Mary the mother and her conception of the Christ. And again, it's very interesting, very well done, and I'm really happy and looking forward to these coming weeks when I can present these wonderful guests to you. We are coming down to the hour. I have about 6 more minutes. I hope that part of what I have talked with you this evening has been of assistance. It's very hard for me when I don't get feedback, so I have a tendency to ramble and just go on and do what stream of consciousness thought. Talk about things that have indeed been of interest to me or have helped me in my life, because sharing is one of the most important gifts that one can do for another person. When you share what you know, knowledge shared is I'm trying to find the right word for it. Edgar Casey said it's not enough to be good. One must be good for something. If one has knowledge but does not share it, then to what end do you have knowledge? Some say, well, the sake of knowledge is for itself. Well, yes, that's fine and good. But sharing the knowledge is very important. What we gain, we should also give, that we may continue to receive. And that's one of the things that I like doing, which is sharing with my friends, with my radio show audience, the insights and the rambling sometimes, the lessons that I've learned, and what it's like to find out that when you try something new, what happens, so that you can indeed share with the world. Again, sometimes I use dowsing to verify my own inner knowing. Sometimes I call my friends who are gifted and say, you know, can you corroborate this? Or am I skipping down the primrose path and, need to hold myself back a little bit, take another look at something? It's good always to get a perspective and to allow others to share with you, by the way. just because one is psychic, and don't forget that everybody is psychic, that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, that we don't misinterpret, that sometimes we're better at giving readings than another. I know there's one dear teacher of mine that she laughs, and she used to say that her friends noticed that when she was going to have her period, and it was the full moon, that her readings went way up in accuracy. And so she said, towards her friends, people got regular readings for saying, well, when's your time of month? And is it a full moon? So they would come to her, and she'd get all these flurry of readings at one time. It was really kind of awkward for her after a while. I think that's really kind of funny that her accuracy went up at that point. But at any rate, you can't hide much when you become a psychic. You don't have much of a personal life or that you can hide away, because so many people are intent on talking to you and finding out more about you. And, you know, the other thing is, though, it's a lot of fun to share with others and to learn with others. So that's one of the reasons why I do like sharing with you things that I find out, so that, you know, you too can have your life path and help to keep you from tripping and stumbling along the way. I personally prefer, I think I've experienced enough that if I can find an easier way of getting to the end of the road without tripping over it, or if I can find a road that's already smooth for me, that I don't have to trip over my own feet in pursuing, I think I'd like to do that now. And maybe I'm just getting a little older and wiser in my wonderful new age, that I realize I don't have to reinvent the wheel all over again every time, that if I can learn from somebody else, it makes it so much easier for me. And so I share what I learned with others in the fond hope that they will find the path a little bit easier when they come to that particular junction in the road, just as so many people before me have shared in writing and teaching and being friends what they have encountered along the way. So we don't have to go over the same ground. We can take their lamp that they have lit and use it to follow the path. And again, we are way showers, and I do belong to the way showers of the ARE, which means we've done a lot of training there, and hope that you all will take advantage of going to that program and learning when you can. And if you again have any questions or concerns that you want to share or call me and discuss and talk to, just like one lady last week called the next day, and we had a great chat. I loved it. At any rate, my phone number at Multiple Pathways is area code 202-387-2080. And the website is multiplepathwaysinc.com. And my email address is psychicworlds4@aol.com. So I hope to hear from you, and I look forward to talking to you again. We are coming up in about a minute where the time is over with again. I guess you all just wanted to listen to me chat, and hope I haven't bored you, and that you may have picked up something new or marvelous that you can use in your life. As always, it is a joy to be on this show, to be able to share with people, and to have fun. Please let me know if you want to send an email. You can do it through BS Radio, or again, psychicworlds4@aol.com, and know that I will be more than happy to hear from you. you want to send written questions so that I can answer them on the next time we're on the air, I'll be glad to do that as well. Meanwhile, I wish you all the best and send you all love and light. I look forward to seeing you and hearing you, really, and talking to you next week on BBS Radio. And our guest for next week is Carl Helvius, and he is an RN, and he has written a lovely book called Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. He's a doctor of public health. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. You have a blessed week. Goodbye.